Hello and welcome to Grow Global. This is our podcast series number 5. And today we're going to be talking about success in education. Grow Global is sponsored by Platinum Credit Group. They help individuals and organizations with financial education to help them with startup loans and or working capital. They provide credit, income, and financial background reviews before submitting applications to lenders on business owners' behalf. We are truly grateful to Platinum Credit Group for helping to fund this podcast, which in part helps to make this show possible. Hello and welcome to Grow Global. I'm your host, Patricia Demetrio. Today we will be talking about all things in connection with success in education. Our guest today is Jin Yu Lee. She is an instructional designer, e-learning developer, and educator based in Mountain View, California. She received her Master of Education from the prestigious UMass Amherst. She served as an educator at the Pioneer Valley Chinese Immersion Charter School in Massachusetts and the Yuming Charter School in Emeryville, California, where she led the creation of instructional and educational materials to meet diverse learning needs within the Asian American community. She also led the development and creation of instructional e-learning material at the International School of the Peninsula located in Palo Alto, California. We are so happy to have you here in our show today and the name Life Smart Education and Grow Global Podcast. And we want to congratulate her for just turning 10 years serving as an educator. Well, hello, Jin Yu. Thank you so much for being here today with me. Welcome to Grow Global, our podcast through the nonprofit organization Life Smart Education. So we're going to be speaking to you today about success in education. And I'm going to just go through some of my questions. We are so honored to have you on the show today. So to begin, I'm going to ask you the question about success, basically. So do you think that we need to change the definition of success? For example, there are people that fail classes. They could fail perhaps maybe a humanities course, but maybe they're pretty good at math. Or maybe there are other people that might fail a math course, but they're amazing at humanity. So looking at this word success, you know, do you think it should be redefined? Because it could mean failure and success at the same time for some people. So what are your thoughts about that?
It's a good question. I think it's hard to define success because, I mean, for schools, different schools, school districts, or like learners, parents, we are all facing different challenges, we have different expectations and goals. So I think our definition for success is different. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's an identical definition for success, but I do agree with you that having learners to do well in every single subject is not the definition of success. And for me myself, I'm a former teacher and I regard myself as an educator who is super passionate about learning and learning theories. Mm-hmm. I feel success for me is the ability to see the world, have the compassion, and have the curiosity to learn and have the inner motivation to gain knowledge. And they are able to apply the knowledge to make changes, and they are confident to do that. I think that's kind of like if you are asking, we are talking about the success for education. I think that's a success for education. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. So the motivation to gain knowledge, because if you're trying, if you're making that effort, you're successful in that you are gaining more information to know more. And that in itself can be success, right? I think that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, absolutely, to explain it.
Right. I love Vygotsky and his social cultural learning theory. And he believes learning is happening in real world. It's happening from social activities, problem solving, from doing projects. And even in our class, we are not able to do some real life project, but we can do some simulations, some problem-solving activities. I feel like those are kind of very meaningful. to drive students to be successful because they are able to experience the situation in a risk-free environment. I want to share some of my experience of leading some real-life projects. Those are deep learning, and they kind of give students strong motivation to make changes to the world. Mm-hmm. I was a language teacher, so I'm teaching Mandarin. Mm-hmm. So actually, my students are doing those research in Mandarin, their foreign language. So it's surprisingly at the end, they are able to accomplish those tasks in a second language.
Wow, that makes it even harder, I think, more challenging.
Yeah, they do it bilingually, but they are able to accomplish it because that's something they care about.
Yes.
And they want to learn and they want to make changes. Mm-hmm. So I feel this kind of can reflect like a success in learning, and it showcases their compassion and their motivation, and they improve their ability to learn at the same time, and they show their courage to make change to the world. So I to answer your question, should we expect all learners to be good at everything? I mean for K-12, I don't think so, because we hope students have the motivation and courage.
Yeah.
But they don't have to really know everything, but they should showcase they are able to learn everything.
Absolutely. If they're passionate, especially about something, to go out, find the information, learn about it, that's a big factor. Yeah, to have the motivation to want to learn and understand things that you don't know about.
Right. They can use their knowledge. They don't have to know everything, but they can get knowledge if they want to get the knowledge.
That's good. Good. Okay. What are the values and habits that need to be taught to our students for them to be successful? I think maybe you talked a little bit about that in your last one, if there's anything else you want to add or say about that.
I feel when I was a teacher, I do value students' opportunity to be independent. For example, I will teach them how you break down big tasks into small chunks, manage a big project into small sub-projects, manage your time, plan your daily activities. Mm-hmm. And if there's any change, if there's anything happening in the middle, how you prioritize your tasks, how you be flexible and modify your schedule accordingly. Like, I think that's kind of like some skills for them to be more independent. Mm-hmm. And another big part for me as a teacher right now is, I don't know about you, but I feel nowadays so many information in social media.
It's a lot.
Like our students, they see so much different sources from different perspectives. I feel an important learning ability for them to have is justify or kind of evaluate the sources, identify their perspective and bias, and make it to find information from it instead of like being influenced by perspective.
Yeah, because we know people can put spin on anything, right? And finding that information in a way that is like from both sides or different sides is going to come more accurate to that person and the information that the conclusion that they have come to, right? So, yeah, I think that's really good.
Learning is so important. Just imagine, if I'm doing a job that is doing the same thing every day repeatedly, I'm probably going to hate my job. I don't know why job exists in the world. The opportunity to continue learning and growing is what makes our human being to feel the fulfillment. So, I mean, learning, like be a lifelong learner.
I love learning, and just getting more information and becoming more knowledgeable is something you'll do for the rest of your life, not just when school is over, right?
Exactly.
Constantly learning. Good. So how can parents and educators come together to set students up for success? Do you think that there needs to be more cooperation from both parties, perhaps?
Definitely. I mean, I do agree parenting is so influential to schooling, or both, on both sides. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's actually a lot of studies supporting this perspective, I think. Like for me, when I was a teacher, I loved to open up conversation with parents or sending them updates on what we're doing in class and just encouraging them to carry on our discussion at home. I like inviting guest speakers. We do have some very interesting stories from parents, how they involved in the class. For example, I have a student who is super passionate about the history unit. And his father told me they did a lot of extra research at home. And his father actually have a lot of personal opinion about this part of history, but he's trying so hard not to influence the kid, but mm-hmm. helping him to dig the facts from it, which I think is very meaningful. Mm-hmm. Also, for example, startup company simulation at class when we are learning math.
Okay.
We do have students go back home and ask their parents their stock market investing strategies.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't know if my mom or dad would have known how to answer that question.
But you know, like right now, I think parents definitely have a lot of experience to share.
Yeah. That's a good one. Man, if your parents are doing that, man, you're on the ball. I mean, doing the stock. I mean, it can be complicated, right? I mean, knowing what to invest in I guess if you do it a lot, it's not as difficult. But for me, I just like the decision-making process on that would just be too overwhelming for me. I could never decide.
I mean, I think that's a good conversation with students too. Like, it's a hard decision and we are not sure. Yeah, I feel like right now, a lot of discussions don't have to be a right or wrong answer, but it's nice to just share opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even like, let students know our family financing, how mm-hmm. strategies. That's kind of fun and interesting.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, you can always do that too. Come bring them along for the learning. Let's learn it together and figure it out together. And like you mentioned before. Okay, great. So in 1965, Fred Smith wrote a college paper explaining how goods were shipped in the U.S. Okay, and in that paper, he also wrote about efficient ways to ship packages. However, his professor thought that he was crazy and gave him a C. A few years later, Fred would become a successful businessman because the billion-dollar company FedEx. And I think that we live in a world where students have brilliant ideas, but many times they do not really receive the proper support from their teachers. How can we address this problem?
When I'm looking at this story, what I'm really paying attention is his professor giving him a C. I think maybe his teacher or his professor will regard this as assessment. So I think this comes to a question or a discussion how we assess the learning outcomes. So right now I think, like you being said, right now our students have brilliant ideas about how we assess what they learn, what they know. We do have a lot of state standard tests. Or in our K-12 system, we do have a lot of assessment that is standardized or identical. Mm-hmm. But I know right now more and more project-based assessment are coming, which we probably give a learner a real problem, a real project to perform. And when they are performing it, they have to apply the knowledge they learned. So when we evaluate the project-based assessment, so our grading cannot be like ABC or right or wrong answer. It should be like more how much knowledge they gained, how much knowledge they represented from this project, how they applied this knowledge. And of course, at this time, we can feel like, oh, this doesn't work. This student, the idea doesn't really work. It doesn't really make sense. It's probably going to fail, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How we showcase our opinion. Maybe instead of giving him a C, we can just ask him more questions. For example, with your idea, how you deal with this problem? Or is this issue coming up? How are you going to solve it? So this kind of evaluation will make it become part of learning journey, not just like evaluation itself.
Yeah.
And we can further inspire thinking and discussion from this evaluation. This also empowers our students to continue to have the courage and the curiosity to learn and to explore and to be a problem solver and making changes. Like what we just talked about, this is a successful education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I'm thinking about this story and looking at the student that this happened to, they were able to take it beyond this grade that they got in the class. But what if a student would have just shut down and not try to explore other options to make, you know, such a success out of their life from this assignment. So, you know, and that there will be students out there like that. So I think that that's really good to be able to like push more, explore, and to not make it so flat with just a letter, but explore the learning more to make it more meaningful and impactful, because there are students that could fall through the cracks with such grading systems, I think, like that. I love to see stuff like that, because a lot of times when you're writing papers, you're always going to pull from things that you have a passion about. I know my son loves football, so every paper he had to write in school was about football. Everything. So he made sure he cultivated his love for football and his learning 100%. Very good. Okay. Now let's talk about note-taking, because we all know that many times, you know, to take notes, learn things better, retain it better, and because it also allows us to recall the information and increase our retention of information that we learn. So nowadays, Cornell method has become very popular, and many universities and even coding boot camps ask their students to use the Cornell method when taking notes. What note-taking styles is the best for students?
I like to have my students to take notes, but I think note-taking should be kind of like dominate the classroom. I mean, for a project-based class, I hope my students can take notes because they realize those information are important. Maybe they have a problem in mind, or they have a question they want to get answered, and they find the answer and they think they can incorporate this to the project to present to people, then it's a good time to take notes. They take the notes because they think they need it. They think it's meaningful. Instead, I don't want them to take notes because I want them to take notes. Maybe I wrote a lot of information on whiteboard and say, copy it down. Maybe that's not the best practice of taking notes. And if I really want them to write something down, I probably need to tell them why. I will tell them maybe just write it down because in the future, when you are solving a problem, you will need this. Besides taking notes, it's more important to have them to know how the notes can be used. There's no point of copying a long paragraph of notes without understanding why, right? Without knowing, or even knowing what the note is about. Sometimes we do that.
This whole thing on this Cornell method, I mean, for me, I wish it would have been something I would have even learned to do, how to take notes, because, you know, it's something that I think is a skill. I mean, even this whole method is a way of this skill, and it's something that most students are not going to learn how to do. And like writing down full sentences is one of the things with this method that you should not do. And so learning how to make smaller abbreviations for words is important. I think that should, I mean, that could in itself be a whole class and way of learning for kids in, you know, like secondary school, like, because you're going to need it whenever you're learning, because we're life learners, right? So lifetime learners. So I think it's definitely a good thing. More learning around note-taking should be definitely out there for students. Okay, so let's look at now learning how to learn. So powerful mental tools to help you master tough subjects. Okay, the course has become very popular in this learning platform, with over 3 million students having taken this course. However, we think that a course like this should be taught at school, socially, when students just start their freshman year of high school or even college. Do you think that every school, college, and university should be teaching a course like this before students begin taking other courses? Let's talk about like this mental toughness, essentially.
I agree with you said, like, everyone should learn how to learn, and it's an important skill, and not just for students, for young kids, and for adults, for everyone. It's a skill that definitely works well to learn. And I know there's a Chinese saying, because I'm Chinese, there's a Chinese saying, teaching people how to fish is better than giving people fish, because they have fish every day, right?
Right.
But I don't think that has to be a standalone course for students to take before they learn everything, because they don't have to memorize those terms. They don't have to know the theory behind it. And maybe we as educators, trainers, teachers need maybe we should dig deeper into it and learn the skills, and we need to incorporate those learning skills into our curriculum, into our course, into our class.
Mm-hmm.
And we inspire our students, and maybe we encourage them to pick up those strategies, carry those strategies in their way. I feel maybe that's how we can do it. It is worthwhile for students to share how they learn to each other as well. They probably know each other better, and they share the same age. They share the same goals and situations. So it's kind of, in my class at least, I feel it's a very nice conversation to have the student to share your strategies or how you manage this task.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, definitely. Because we all have our own unique ways of doing things. And hey, you never know, a unique way of doing something could be a great, you know, way someone else maybe can do it, and it may work better for them. So that's always good to be able to talk about that too. I think encouraging kids to share how you retain information or how you learn, because we're all unique in that. And I didn't learn till much, much later in my life, you know, what works best for me, you know, learning, not until I was in college. And had I known these things when I was even in high school, it would have made a difference. But, you know, this is one of the reasons why we do what we do now, and, you know, having these podcasts and just talking about education in general, because we're growing, our knowledge is growing so much, and finding ways to disseminate this information and ways to help kids today is so key. And this is why I really do like talking about these kinds of things. Okay, so every year our students are going to be going to the next level. You know, our high school seniors are graduating, they're going to be going to college. However, as time goes by, classes get harder and harder regardless of their major. How can we teach our students to develop that resilience that they need when they start growing on an academic and professional environment?
Like for me, what resilience means to me is to have my students staying focused and make a good use of their time. Like, because when the content, when the knowledge getting harder, it's more interesting to get focused. Sorry, more important to get focused. And that means a great time management skills. That means you need to work on this project, on this task, on a daily basis, manage your daily activities. And it definitely, we can train these skills in class by giving them big project, big tasks, which take maybe several weeks, and maybe every week we set up weekly goals, and every day we can set up daily activities.
Yeah.
And we can have students reflect their progress. And if they didn't make much progress, maybe have them to reflect what happened and what skill I need to improve, or do I need to get help from teacher or parents. Just take the initiation, be reflective, and just try to focus on the task, focus on the present, focus on the journey. Yeah. And also, I feel another part of resilience is not being anxious, because sometimes I just feel like, even for me, if I'm looking at other people, like other people's progress, other people's academic performance, I'll be anxious. So I will maybe kind of lose my focus.
Yeah.
So I want to try to encourage my students to not be interrupted by others and focus on your own learning journey and your personal progress.
Absolutely. Especially now in our times we live in, mindfulness has become a very important thing in school to help with that anxiety and to help maintain your focus and to be present in the moment. It's so good for learning, and it's becoming more and more popular for students even younger. I remember reading a story about young kids even doing yoga when they have like timeouts, or just doing something to kind of redirect your thinking and to just keep you in a mindset so that you're able to even learn, right? So Jingyu,
yes,
there might be people out there who might think that no matter how hard they try, they will never be able to be a successful student. What message do you have for these people out there?
I only have my experience as a former teacher, and I feel, and myself as a learner, I feel a lot of time when learning becomes frustrating, I have to like go back and really reflect myself and see what is the skill that is only one step further and focus on the skills. Not 2 steps further, not 10 steps further, just 1 step further. Don't looking at others and how much they learn. Just focus on my own journey. And if I achieve the skills or the goal that is 1 step further, I will find the enjoyment or find some confidence when I'm just keeping moving on. Maybe just focus on ourselves and focus on skills that 1 step further.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's a lot of competition out there in life. And I know we can get hung up on other people and taking the focus away from ourselves, but we have to maintain that focus. I think that is such good advice. And to just keep going, strive to learn, be better. And hey, you can do it. If you really work hard at something, you can do it. And I know that that's become my story. All through school, growing up, school was so hard for me. I just struggled, but as I became an adult, I really wanted to learn. I wanted to get a degree. It became so important. When I put my focus to accomplishing that degree, it was those little steps you were talking about to get to that big goal of graduating. And before you knew it, I was there, focusing on myself, those little steps, and just being motivated to learn. And it can happen. It can happen. Okay, and how can we find you? Do you have social media or anything that you want to say?
Yes, I have LinkedIn. If you find me on LinkedIn, just feel free to connect with me.
Okay, do you teach anything online, any classes?
So I taught for 11 years Mandarin, but most of the time it's at school. Just during pandemic, I taught online. But I just switched my career path. I'm now doing adult education.
Oh, okay.
As like an e-learning developer to train agent and broker in a real estate company.
Oh, awesome. Wow, that sounds like fun. Yeah, so you can take it anywhere, learning and education, right? It's not just for young people. It's not just for young kids, right?
Yeah, so I'm now a formal teacher, but I still call myself an educator.
Absolutely, that's right. You're definitely still an educator, right? Yeah, it's we come in all forms. I'm not in the classroom teaching kids, but I'm teaching all the time. You know, we get volunteers to help out a lot with our nonprofit to get office experience. And so we're teaching here with our nonprofit. It may not be a traditional school setting, but it's still, you know, we're teaching and we're learning. And I'm learning every day. So much out there. All right, Jingyu. Thank you so much, Sai Chen.
Sai Chen, I enjoyed talking to you.
And same here.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. And we want to ask you, hey, do you have any tips or study tricks that you might want to share with us? Please email us at info@LifeSmartEducation. We want to hear from you with the subject line, Success in Education. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Life Smart Education. Today's show was produced by Keith Richardson, edited and written by Christine and Manuel Lopez, no relation. Our social media producer is JD Johnson. Thanks to our friends at Platinum Credit Group and our friends at WCBE 90.5 FM for sponsoring this podcast and making it happen. I'm Patricia Demetrio. This is Grow Global. Thanks for listening.